Turn now in the Word of God to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 45. And we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 25. Isaiah 45, 1 through 25. Beloved, hear now the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to Cyrus, his anointed, whom I have taken by the right hand to subdue nations before him and to loose the loins of kings, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the rough places smooth. I will shatter the doors of bronze and cut through their iron bars. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, and Israel, my chosen one, I have also called you by your name. I have given you a title of honor, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other, the one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these. Drip down, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up and salvation bear fruit, and righteousness spring up with it. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker, an earthenware vessel among the vessels of earth. Will the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? Or the thing you are making say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to a father, what are you begetting? Or to a woman, to what are you giving birth? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me about the things to come concerning my sons, and you shall commit to me the work of my hands. It is I who made the earth and created man upon it, and I stretched out the heavens with my hands, and I ordained all their host. I have aroused him in righteousness, and I will make all his ways smooth. He will build my city and will let my exiles go free without any payment or reward, says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord, the products of Egypt and the merchandise of Cush and the Sabaeans, men of stature, will come over to you and will be yours. They will walk behind you. They will come over in chains and will bow down to you. They will make supplication to you. Surely God is with you, and there is none else, no other God. Truly you are a God who hides himself, O God of Israel, Savior. They will be put to shame, even humiliated, all of them. The manufacturers of idols will go away together in humiliation. Israel has been saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. He will not be put to shame or humiliated to all eternity. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens. He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret. In some dark land, I did not say to the offspring of Jacob, seek me in a waste place. I, the Lord, speak righteousness, declaring things that are upright. Gather yourselves and come. Draw near together, you fugitives of the nations. They have no knowledge who carry about their wooden idol and pray to a God who cannot save. Declare and set forth your case. Indeed, let them consult together who has announced this from of old, who has long since declared it. Is it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none except me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back, that to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Men will come to him, and all who were angry at him will be put to shame. In the Lord, all the offspring of Israel will be justified and will glory. And that is the word of our God. As the last chapter ended with Cyrus saying his name, the promises are made there that he will rebuild the temple and the city after the destruction of Jerusalem. It's said here in this chapter. But these things at the time of Isaiah had not yet happened. They're some 200 years away, 150 years away. And so it's showing of what would happen in the future. It's the promise of God. And of course, Cyrus himself did not build Jerusalem or the temple. But what did he do but release the Jews back to Jerusalem to do the rebuilding? The promise not yet come is about is made in Isaiah, and we know the Lord has brought this to fruition already. He has seen the Lord is as faithful to his promises. But the use of Cyrus as a servant to release the Jews from captivity is not a statement about Cyrus's faith. He was still one who believed in many gods. And so we learn even in the fulfillment of the Lord's promises, he uses pagan instruments to bring about his good causes. And so we ought to pray for that. That's what we see really referred to in the first 8 verses. But then going to verses 9 through 15, we see Israel's lack of faith. The Lord is in complete control of all of history. But Israel believes things are in chaos, and so they receive rebuke. To believe the Lord is not in control of all of history, that he is not completely sovereign over all things, is the pride of unbelief, questioning what God is doing. And that's what they were doing here. They were questioning the potter. The clay was questioning the potter. That which we remember when Paul brings it up in Romans 9. And God, through Paul, responds back, "Who are you, O man, to answer back to God?" That's what they were doing here. They were questioning what God was doing. We like to question Yahweh's ability to raise up a Cyrus some 150 years after this time that Isaiah writes it, 150 years into the future. And we actually know that he goes far beyond that when he makes promises for even in Christ's coming, he promises from over 700 years away from this point. The picture in these verses is that Yahweh is with them, even if they are prisoners of war. Verse 14, "Surely God is with you, and there is no one else, no other God," repeated many times in this chapter to remind us that there is no one else, no other God, but the one who is with us, his people. And in fact, not just 700 years does he order all things, but from all eternity he has ordered all things. For he is a sovereign God over all things. Completely sovereign. Not just 700 years sovereign, but from all eternity. And his ways are truly incomprehensible. For he is even a God who hides himself, it says. And at the same time, the free offer of the gospel is given, verse 22, "Turn to me and be saved," even from all the nations that he's speaking about. "For he is the Lord and there is no other." There's no other God who can save, whether at that time or today. He is the Lord and there is no other. He is the only Savior. A promise, verse 17, Israel has been saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. God's elect will be saved and are considered to be already saved. And so we are called here to come now and believe and be saved. That we would not receive what is foretold here of the future, punishment. Captivity, exile is coming, but the promise also of judgment comes with the promises of grace and salvation. The truths we find here provide for us the best incentive to make sure that we are the Lord's, lest we come under that same judgment. And so we must come to the Lord now, lest we find ourselves too late to come to Him. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, Almighty God, there, You who are the only God, there being no others, no true gods, the God who alone is Savior, Redeemer, the Deliverer of Your elect, the God who is sovereign over all creation and has ordered all things from before creation, before the foundations of the world. And may we be a people who do not raise up idols or make wooden and metal gods that are false, but that we be a people who turn unto You with that faith which is a gift to us for salvation. Father, may we not be people who question You, who talk back to You, who grumble and complain when things don't go the way we think they ought to go. But let us alone respond with praise unto You, trusting that what You are doing is the best for Your people, even as we think of, even from this point in Isaiah, 700 years until You sent Your Son. Many were desperate in those years, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, but they did not see it. But we know that it was good for You to bring Him about and send Him at the right time to die for the ungodly, for people like us who were far from You in darkness. Even us who are Gentiles, not Jews. And yet You have grafted us into the tree and made us spiritual Jews. One with Your Son, one with even our father Abraham by faith, with the church throughout the world who are Yours truly, from past, present, and even in the future. Father, we plead that there would be no unbelief here. That there would be no pride. But even that You would raise up people to work for the good of Your people. Even if it be pagans, as we see here with the use of Cyrus, You use pagan people to bring about great things for Your people, for Your elect. And so, Lord, we know many governing authorities, as Cyrus was over the Jews in Babylon in exile, we know many governing authorities who are not Your children. And we, it seems, are in a world which is more and more hostile to You, at least in our nation. Even many nations that we are familiar with. Constantly, leaders and people are hostile to you, and therefore, because of that enmity and the hostility, they are hostile to us, just as you promised in Genesis 3:15. Father, we ask that you would show mercy and even use those pagan leaders over us for our good, to be a blessing. And maybe that blessing comes even through persecution and suffering. We don't know. But you know. And we rely upon you to bring us exactly what we need. But we ask that you would be merciful and strengthen us for the task that awaits us. Give us joy in you and in your church. And call us often to the gospel of your Son, to turn from our sin and turn unto you, that we would even live more holy lives for Christ Jesus, for your glory, for your praise and service unto you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.